Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This meeting's being recorded.
Meeting.
Hello, Emma Bear. How are you?
Thank you for coming to meet with us today, Julie.
Thank you. I just look, the truth is I've always wanted to do this job. It's got nothing to do with getting a mortgage. I have always dreamed of being a youth development worker. Have you been on my Instagram? Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye, yeah.
So the job hunt continues, but dare I say, had one on Friday and I was getting the good vibes. I don't want to jinx myself, but I just got the good vibes. So fingers crossed. Yeah, I will say no more because I don't want to jinx. We don't want to repeat of the Regina Grace of the episode. But yeah, I got the good vibes. So fingers crossed now. And it was funny because I had another one on. It's always the way, isn't it? I had one on Wednesday,
yeah.
And my lovely mate Aoife G, you probably know Aoife Granville, she's a great musician, she's deadly, she's always on RT. Anyone who's into trad would know the Granvilles, they're great. Aoife and Deirdre are good buddies of mine. She sent me a rake of stuff, Aoife, was so helpful, totally prepared, and within the first 60 seconds I said, oh no, I am definitely not getting this job. You know, I think with the Zoom interview, I don't know if the listener can empathize with this, you just feel like saying, do you know what, guys, will we just wrap it up for everyone? You know, within 60 seconds they were like, so how would you feel about moving to Galway on Monday? I was like, well, I mean, to work in a theatre, it's always been my dream. What's your favourite play? Thinking back to my Leaving Cert comparison.
Oh my God.
Philadelphia, Here I Come. Big fan of Brian Friel. So, yeah.
Could you say Grease?
Oh, do you know what? I did. Well, do you know what I said was, I thought this was a goodie. Marina Carr, Bog of Cats. Hello, I'm a serious thespian. But no, it's a great play. Love Marina Carr as well. But no, it was just gas because within the first 60 seconds. But it was so funny because one member of the panel was on to me from the get-go. She was like, this one is not moving to Galway. Like, she was like, and you're okay with moving to Galway, are you? Because this wasn't in the ad. So The answer, like, is maybe. I don't know. But I really sold it. I was like, oh, can't wait. The bank is packed. And she was like, really? I mean, obviously I would go if it was the right job, don't get me wrong, but I was completely now, I had been up all morning the night before doing my prep, doing this, that or whatever. And isn't it so funny because, like, it wasn't them, it was totally me. It just wasn't a great interview, you know, when you're like, this is just, I mean, I'm I didn't know I was this rusty. But Friday then, didn't do any prep at all. I was like, look, like, it was gas. It's always the way, isn't it? That you don't really prep, and then that's a much better interview.
I don't know what Friday was now. I'll have to ask you after.
Well, I won't. I'm not going to jinx it, so
no.
I won't tell you, but we'll see. But I got the good vibe, so we'll see now. And it's gas, because that would be a job in Galway as well. So we'll see now.
Galway is calling.
Galway is calling me.
Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey.
But yeah, so... interviews. You're getting your floors done. Hello.
Oh, well, ordering the floors. Have to order the bits first, but then they will be done.
Exciting. Oh, I can't wait. I want now like 20 Instagram stories from IKEA when you do the big shop.
I don't, do you know what I mean? I don't know if it's going to be that kind of vibe. I think it's going to be military. I think it's going to be charge, attack. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's funny. When you said, I think it's going to be military, I was thinking khaki. She's a lot of green, a lot of army green.
No, don't get me wrong. Like, it is exciting.
Camp bed things.
It is exciting. It's all good. But when you can physically, when you physically feel like you're hemorrhaging money, I don't know if the old Insta stories would be the first thing on my mind. Do you like it away? Hey guys.
Oh, I love, I'm so
trying
money. I love spending money.
I do. Certain things. Like, come on, none of us like spending money on our car.
No.
You like spending money on, you know, a few bits of stuff. But not like, you know, like boring stuff no one likes spending money on. Like, do people like spending money on plumbing?
Oh, God, that reminds me. My pipes are starting to smell, at the risk of this turning into a very different podcast. And I mean my actual pipes.
Okay.
Before you get in touch, listener. My pipes are starting to smell, so I have to bleach them, I think, or something. I'll need
to whack a bit of hot water, bit of bleach, put some, clean them, throw the hot water down, then throw the bleach down, leave that, do that before you go to bed, and then again in the morning, the hot water again.
Okay.
Bleach, you probably have.
I never would have thought of it, Emma.
I know.
I shared this problem.
I know, I've been I actually have a blog. I keep meaning to update it, and the blog is called Water Bleach Water. And just for everything, I just tell people water bleach water.
It's like a spin-off of Eat Pray Love.
Yeah.
But just satisfying.
Did I tell you what I did for more helpful tips from Emma? Did I tell you what I did with the basin?
No.
Well, photographs were getting taken in the house there last week, and I was running around trying to put stuff away. And you know the way, if you're living in a space with like kids and you're giving them breakfast, it's very hard to keep like just putting everything away. And the basin was in the kitchen, and I was like, where am I going to put this basin now? And I was like, I just throw it in the oven. Put it in the oven, took the pictures, that was all good. And then later on, Shane was making dinner, and I hear him go, oh no, or somewhere, ah, oh, fuck's sake, or whatever. And oh, what's that? The basin, he was heating up the oven, the basin was in the oven. And yeah, melted basin, completely cooked.
Oh, that must have been a nightmare to clean.
It was. And you see, in that case, I have
melted plastic is such a pain in the hole.
And it's not water, bleach water. You can't use bleach in the cooker. You
mean there's something for which water, bleach water doesn't work.
Well, this is it, because that had been my method for everything.
Mantra. Ever since I've known you, it's been water, bleach water.
Yeah, so it really threw me through a loop. That I couldn't execute that. So it took me, I'll be honest with you, it took me a few days to get around to completely cleaning it. But it's fine now, but the basin is not.
Funny you talk about cleaning ovens, because today, for the first time in a long time, my lovely friend Audrey of the Pilates, Fred was like, well, I put on my yoga pants. I was like, it's Pilates. But anyway, she was coming over, so you know, it's just been so long since it all socially distanced, goes without saying. Yeah. But I was like, look, we're going to be in the garden, but just in case she's peeking in the window, I better give this place a bit of a lick. So went at it, and I had to laugh because we divvied up the jobs, and I don't know how this happened, but Fred and I decided we needed to clean our oven for Audrey's visit. So Fred was on the oven, I was doing the skirt boards, because that's what you look at when you go into a gaff. You're like, I need to see their oven and I need to see the state of their skirting boards. But I don't know what we were thinking. The oven.
Cleaning the oven. I mean,
I know.
It's a once really a year kind of thing, isn't it?
It's been a long time since we've had a garden visitor. It's been a very, very long time.
So you panicked. You didn't know what to do.
Panicked. I also had a garden visit. I went over to my lovely friend B, who actually, this is a lovely story. My friend B is an artist. And she would have been friendly with this older American lady who lived in Bentry in West Kerry. And they used to be kind of email buddies. And this woman, I think she was a bit of a patron of the arts. You know, she was very into arts and she collected art and all the rest. Yeah. So herself and B would have been buddies. And when B was at home from London, she'd call over for tea and all the rest. So she got a call last summer to say that the poor woman had died. And guess what? She gifted her the house.
Fuck off.
Yeah, I knew that was what your reaction was going to be. But we say that with love. Did go back to the house, and I have to say, like, it's unreal. Like, little thatched cottage. Like, obviously, because B's an artist, it's, like, just really gorgeous, like, decorated beautifully. They've done loads of work on it. Garden's unreal. But I did leave thinking, oh, I need to get friendly with an old person.
Yeah.
That's what I need to do.
How did you miss out on this friendship? How did you not get onto this?
Well, I did not know this woman. So it would have been, you know what I mean? It would have been a stretch.
Come on.
And it was funny.
Email buddies would have suited you right down to the ground.
Yeah, it was funny because B was saying that the neighbour was just incredulous when she moved in. She was like, but I thought she was giving this to the donkey sanctuary. So I did take some bit of solace from the fact that I was like, look, on the plus side, I mean, everyone probably does think B swindled the old woman out of the gaff. So that's kind of what I'm telling myself just to make myself feel better.
So she's moved into the gaff.
She's moved into the gaff. She's living her best life. And you know, one, at the risk of destroying the Up to 90 brand with a bit of positivity at the top, I think one good thing to come out of the pandemic, so her boyfriend is an architect and he works with an architectural firm in London. And I think one good thing to come out of this is that you can live in West Kerry and you're working in London. Like, isn't that mad? And so many people are doing it. And I actually think it's kind of deadly. I think it's a game changer. Like she was saying now, even about a lady who works with him, and she was saying how she's gained like 3 hours with her kids every day because she's not doing the London commute or whatever. I don't know. I think it's a positive. But yeah, so look, love you, B. Keep on to say, I'm so happy for her. I am so happy for her. But note to self, need to start. I need to get emailing.
You really do.
I need to get an elderly pen pal.
Set that task for yourself now for this week.
Yeah.
Well, no, that is deadly if he's still working for that place in London.
That's going to be something I think now post pandemic. It's a change that, okay, it's not going to be the case in every situation, but I think it's a change that's here to stay. And I think it's only a good thing.
But sure, look at you. Like, I mean, I know before you talked about. Look at you.
You can take it.
You obviously talked about living in Dingle before, but I always thought that was like
pipe dream.
Yeah, it was like, you know, a lot like medium term plan. You know what I mean? Like, if it wasn't for the pandemic, you probably wouldn't have ended up in Dingle.
I know. Well, we're not quite in Dingle, but we're edging closer.
Well, you know what I mean.
All the time. I know. Yeah, West Kerry in general. No, it's definitely, like, it's been great because I think even when we were trying to get pregnant and I was saying to Fred, like, I really would like to give West Kerry a go. And it's gas how I orchestrated a whole virus just to get Fred to West Kerry. I mean, some would say it was selfish of me, but, like, you know, hey, You've got to manifest it.
But I suppose it was easier to go, well, not that you went then, but it was easier, like, not to really miss the place when there wasn't really the lure of the flashing lights in Dublin anymore.
Well, that was great because Fred is like, he loves West Kerry now. Fred is very movable. Like, I'm very lucky like that because even when we started going out, obviously, he was living in Galway. So, you know, you obviously mentioned
that. Of course, yeah.
the interview now today is in Galway, and like his little face lit up because he was like, we might be moving back to Galway, which did kind of crush me a bit. Because obviously I'm like, but I want him to be from Kerry, pointing at Ted.
Yeah.
Covered in beans. But like, look, I we'll see now. Sure, I mightn't get the job on Friday at all, but I was like, at least I did a nice interview. You know, at least you can come away from saying that was,
yeah,
you know, that was nice. And dare I say, I kind of enjoyed it because the people were sound and all the rest. So,
did you whack out a little hat? A funny hat?
I found that Regina Gwaith, the hat in the utility room today. I nearly threw it in the bin, but I said, no, I'm going to be the bigger person. And I still listen to Regina Gwaith because, hey, I'm that kind of girl.
You listen to it?
Oh, yeah, I listen to Regina Gwaith every morning.
Do you?
I do.
You speak Irish, so that's a big difference between
you
and me.
I've been really rusty. Oh my God, I did Splunk. And every time I say I'm doing Splunk on News Talk, which is an Oscar Friday night show, it's a very good show with the lovely coup on. It's gas. Yeah. Every time I say to Fred, I'm doing Splunk now, he's like, you make me Splunk. And we fall around laughing, like it never gets old. But I did it on Friday. I was raging at myself because I said, spoilers again, Niamh Cunanan's spoilers a Yenov, or well, Niamh Cunanan's spoilers a Yenov, which would be like, I'm not going to make any spoilers because I couldn't think what the verb is in English. What would you say in English? I'm not going to give away any spoilers. Is that what you'd say?
God, you have me confused now.
I'm not going to do any spoilers. What would the verb
not, you know, say? You would, you're not, yeah, you don't, not to give any spoilers.
Yeah, I used the wrong verb. I was raging at myself. So I didn't even retweet that I was doing the show. I was like, I don't want anyone to hear that. Because do you know what happened? Actually, if anyone's listening, and it's a real note to self, when you second guess yourself, because in my head, I was like, I think I'd say Niamh Cunanan's spoilers are word mark, but I doubted myself. I said, no, that's probably not it, Julie. That's probably what it was. You should always go with your gut. So Splunk.
Splunk. I love how we all think the same, that we think that we have the power to... if we don't like retweet something or share online that it happened, then it didn't happen. Like we can just totally erase something by not retweeting it.
Yeah.
Nobody will know now.
Nobody will know it happened. And we got some lovely new patrons this week. Did I mention last week how we have our gorgeous cards from the lovely peeps over at Weird Watercolors?
Yes.
And we're sending a card to a listener of the week every week. So just to say that in case I forget. I don't know why, did I mention it last week? Because they're just deadly cards. I must throw up a picture on the Instagram. New patrons this week getting on board. Can we just really thank our patrons? Because it does mean so much to get the few quid for the content. It just, honestly, it just means loads. Like if you just, it gives me the warm and fuzzies. So thank you so much. You're very good. So this week we had, okay, hang on, I'm going back. We have Jennifer Denise, we have Lorraine, we have Kira, we have Emer, we have Grace. Thank you so much, guys, for joining our Patreon page. And I think this week we're doing something. Are we doing a movie club, Emma?
Yes, we are going to do an extra episode this week. And we are going to be chatting, and we're going to be chatting about Inside Number 9.
Very
so
good.
So if you watch that show, well, come along anyway, because you don't watch it, don't you, Lee?
I don't.
Yeah.
Are we going to do it as a live? Are we going to do it as a pre-record?
I think a pre-record.
I think it's probably too niche for live, is what I'm thinking. Is it?
Well,
I tell you what, why don't we do a pre-record, and then the next week we could just do a live chat about something, because you know we had the episode it wasn't really an episode, but we did a Zoom last week for the Mayor of Easttown finale, and I had such crack. Oh my God, it was such good fun, and it made me think, I was like, we should do this more often where we're talking about something that people are watching.
Yes.
So let's do that next week.
Yeah, well, actually, just wait a sec. Let me say that show. I remember saying I watched a show there last night. So there's a new show on, it's called Time. So it's Sean Bean and Stephen Graham. So if you're watching that, why don't we meet when that is finished and we'll do a live one for that.
Great.
It's on a Sunday night.
And it's how many
I don't actually know. I'll just have a quick look now. It's a Jimmy McGovern prison drama.
Deadly. So
you know, like your man who wrote Cracker and all that.
Yeah, loved Cracker.
Oh, it's a three-part series.
Perfect.
Written by Jimmy McGovern. So the first one was on there Sunday night. So let's do a live. Let's meet back and do a live for that one. How about that?
Fine. Let's do a live for that. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Perfect. Okay, let's do that for sure.
Well, will we just do the live, or will we do an extra episode about Inside Number 9?
Well, why don't we do a little short this week on Inside Number 9?
Yeah, cool. Okay.
Yeah, because I'd be interested to hear your hot take, because I haven't watched it.
It's the best thing on telly. It's one of the
okay.
best things.
Okay, well, there you go. I'd be interested to hear your hot take. And you have a listener of the week. So listener of the week, who gets a lovely weird watercolour cord?
Kate McD.
It's coming your way.
Hi, Kate. Yeah, Kate McD.
So if you could send your address to our patron page, or you can DM it to either myself or Ems, and myself and Ted will nip down to Dingo Post Office, Judy's favourite place in the world, and send you the cord. So that'll be deadly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ted.
Come here. Do you know, I read this really interesting article. It was about your old friend, because Mayor of East End, by the way, what did you think? First episode, pretty tough. Am I right?
Well, like, this is it. I mean, I watched the first three episodes yesterday, and to be honest, like, I was watching it going, yeah, it's grand, but I don't understand all the big hype about it.
Well, this is it. I think it gets much better after the first episode, if I'm honest.
But I watched the first three.
Episode, I had to force myself to go back to episode two. Actually, do you know what? Jane had such a good point, because I won't give out any spoilers that is the verb. But when we had such crack talking about the Mayor of Easttown finale. And anyway, look, I won't go into it, but I will say that, let's just say Fred got woken up because I couldn't sleep after the finale. And Jane made the really good point. She was like, ask me a question. I actually have no idea what the answer to this is. She was like, if because I do get really affected by this stuff, and then Fred gets woken up, and like the only way he can get me back to sleep is like, we'll write an email or whatever it is. We'll find out, are these people okay? But then she was like, but how do the true crime podcast if you're so affected by these things? So I was like, oh, do you know what? That's probably a question I need to have with my counsellor, because that is a really good question. I'm basically self-harming by having a true crime podcast.
Or is it just
a great question, Jane?
Is it just when you have a visual, is it different? Does that evoke something else in you?
Yes, I think when you get invested in characters and a script and all that, like, it's just hard to divorce yourself, you know. But like, it was a really good question from Jane, I have to say. Kate Winslet, so you know, she, of course, Mayor of Easttown, all the rest. But there was a very interesting article in The Guardian and by Barbara Ellen. And the headline was, just enjoy your success, Kate Winslet. Your husband can take care of himself. So it's like, oh, I'm intrigued. So then, of course, the subheading, what do you call that? Not the subheading, the byline, I don't know. The actor's ocean warrior, inverted commas, spouse does what wives do each day. So why the huge praise? So in the New York Times.
Oh, he's looking after the kids.
Yeah, because, you know, she did the interview with the New York Times, and Kate was saying about, like, so his name is Edward Abel Smith, but you remember, so he's Richard Branson's nephew, and when they met, he had changed his name to Ned Rock and Roll. Do you remember?
Okay, go on anyway.
And she was like, he changed his name because he's like an original. I mean, and I don't know about you,
I'd say it's probably something to do with privilege, but whatever. Yeah,
I know, like, for me, it's like when somebody puts on the Christmas jumper for the 12 bubs and says hey, I am a fun kid, I'm Ned Rock and Roll. It's that kind of, it's kind of a forced fun vibe.
Well, you're not going to be changing your name to that if you're having to apply for jobs and trying to get loans from banks and things
you're
like that.
You're not changing your name. You're not changing your name to Ned Rock and Roll if you're applying for a job as a youth development worker in Galway. Do you know what I mean? You're not doing, you might throw a fad on it. You might do that.
Yeah.
But you're not changing. By the way, just on a bit of a tangent, I think probably the hardest Friends episode to watch. Do you remember that episode where Phoebe and Paul Rudd are changing their names? It's just so not funny. Do you remember that episode?
I always thought
that was the slog, that one.
That was the slog, but that whole relationship was a slog. Like, there were so many characters. Like, I really enjoyed Friends and whatever. Neither one of us watched the reunion. But like there was loads of parts of Friends, loads of episodes, loads of things that were like, ugh, it was tough going. And I don't think we all would have watched it if it was coming out today for the first time and we had all the options that we do now in terms of what to watch. Like, there was fuck all else to watch. So what, you're either going to watch fucking Friends or like what, Nationwide or something? So like, yeah, I think I'll fucking watch Friends.
Two channels.
And like it wasn't that bad back then, but we didn't have like fucking, we didn't have.
Well, there was no streaming or any of that.
No, I mean, there was no Sky Plus or anything.
It wasn't quite two channels, but it wasn't far off either.
No, well, yeah, it was probably about 13 or something.
The relationship was a slog on that particular episode. You see, we do neglect, I know none of us want to focus, it's like in a relationship when you want to focus on the good times, like nobody wants to look at the winter years of that relationship, but they were bleak. Like, nobody was surprised that these people didn't keep in touch after the fact. Anyway, so Kate was discussing this interview, she's discussing, his real name is Edward Abel Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he happens to be Richard Branson's nephew, which makes so much sense because I didn't put two and two together before. But you remember Kate Winslet was always hanging around Richard Branson's feckin' island? Do you remember that? And she saved his mother when the house went on fire.
I totally missed all of this. I never would have had, I had nothing against her or whatever, but like if I saw a story about Kate Winslet, like I wouldn't be stopping.
Okay. You were too busy bleaching your pipes. No time to stop.
But no, but she's, I've never found her, and like, don't get me wrong, at the same time, I don't have a problem with her, but it's, she just wouldn't have been one of those people that I would have been overly interested in her personal life or whatever.
Okay, fair. So so Kate said anyway about the hubby, I think you'd be interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
He's a, quote, super hot, superhuman stay-at-home dad and an absolutely extraordinary life partner. He looks after her and the children. Although dyslexic, he helps her with her lines. He maintains his zen with veganism, yoga, breath work, and cold swims. I'm sorry. I just wish, listener, I could take a photo of Emma's face as I'm reading this out. His long hair makes him resemble, quote, an ocean warrior. And then, but you see what we're kind of, okay, so thoughts. I was going to bang on about something else, but Amy, thoughts?
I mean, grand, but like, I want to know in what context was this brought up? Like, was the question posed to her? And Kate, tell me, could you talk about your husband's positive qualities at length?
I suppose, because actually Barbara Ellen makes the point in this article, and I know it's something, well, we've touched upon it before, but I think she has articulated it really well, the whole idea that, like, you know, that like a woman almost has to make herself seem small in relation to the role that her partner, male partner, plays, because it's the idea that, like, you know, if the woman's in a more powerful position, that can be really a masculine for a man. And
you always have, like, to pick up the male then in that scenario.
Yeah, but it's kind of presuming that the male ego is that fragile that you're going to have to, like, of course, it's fantastic. Like, you need to praise your partner and I probably, maybe I should do it more in the podcast. I don't know. Fred's amazing. He is Debbie. But I guess it's the thing of, you know, enjoying your moment without feeling the need to maybe temper it a bit for fear that you're going to encroach on somebody's ego. And actually, it's funny because she frames him as a stay-at-home dad, but he is, I think he's the head of marketing in Richard Branson's bloody space company. I mean, can we just talk about straight white men and space? What is it like they obviously view themselves as the equivalent of Christopher Columbus, another straight white male with a lot of privilege. Like, it's, and they view themselves as Columbus, and okay, space, that is the one, that's the nut I need to crack. Forget about solving world hunger. Space, that's where I'm needed. But I think he's the head of marketing in Richard Branson's space company. I don't know. Okay, good to lavish praise, but I guess the point the writer makes is interesting as well.
Well, I know. Yeah, but I don't know what context this was put in. Like, I don't know. Was she asked three questions in a row from him? Maybe that's just, you know, maybe that's the mood she felt in that day. Like, somebody could ask me today, how's Shane? And I could say, grand. And then they could ask me, how's Shane tomorrow? And I said, Shane is really good. And, you know, he did this. And I'm just so grateful to have him. And blah, 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 blah. Do you know? So maybe that's the buzz she was feeling that day. Although she strikes me as a bit of a lovey anyway. I think she okay, I'm going to be honest now, right? Thing that just niggled me about her was the whole fucking bullshit friendship with Leonardo DiCaprio. Maybe it is real.
About him. Yeah.
I never bought it. So I always was just a bit like, oh, give it a break. Give it a break, would you?
Yeah. Do you think they ever shifted herself and Leo?
She's far too old for him. She's about 35 years too old for him. Like, let's be fair.
He is a certified creep, isn't he, Leonardo?
Yeah.
Like, no. I just feel like Leo was hanging around 21st a bit too much. Like, just crazy.
Yeah, no, just not for me. But she is good in Mayor of Easttown. But like, at the same time, it is annoying. They've just taken the stereotypical male detective character and just got her to play it.
Well, yeah, and I felt
she just seemed to be an incredibly unlikable person.
Yeah, it kind of unlikable.
Yeah, big style.
I do think it gets under your skin, though.
Well, I'm three episodes in, so maybe it will. Like, I will watch it to the end, but at the end of the second episode, I was like, oh, Jesus, thankfully, here we fucking go. And then I was like, oh no, here we don't fucking go. Jesus Christ. Give me something.
Did you see then about the UFOs, that report in the States this week, speaking of white men in space?
The UFOs are coming, I'm telling you, there's 100% aliens.
100%. I was going to ask, I realised I'd never asked you about your thoughts on aliens. They do exist, of course.
100%. They are going to be, well, let's not forget, as Janice reminded me, I was 100% spot on about coronavirus of the Christmas of whatever, before coronavirus happened. But I think the aliens are going to come, and I think it's going to be 2023.
Well, look, you were right about Miggledy and the ponies. Like, even when they were banging on about,
I was sorry, Miggledy and the ponies, it's coronavirus. So, but I think what's going to happen is, so when I mean the aliens are going to arrive, what I mean is that there's going to be some, I don't know, like some sort of like amoeba, something thing. Ooh. Discovered. Mm-hmm. That has obviously reproductive organs of some description.
Okay. So we're
going to start off small.
Okay. So we're not thinking Roswell. Really kick off. We're thinking more amoeba starting off small.
something under a rock, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I think maybe what might happen first is we might discover like a new universe or something. So we're not going to just discover like one new planet. Somebody's going to do something.
Joe Rogan? Oh my God, did I tell you about how Blind Boy, I think I'm really scared of the Blind Boy off. No, do you know the way I did the sketch on Blind, the Irish Karen listens to Blind Boy for the first
time?
So, and I know, like, I'm sure he's got better things to do, like, obviously, at the helm of Ireland's number one podcast. So I'm not expecting him to get back to me at all, but I am, you know, I'm a paranoid Peter. So I did the video, and I was like, oh, I hope he knows, like, this is just a bit of crack. And also that I'm clearly slagging the Irish Karen, Cautine, who listens to, you know, like, as in I'm talking about, like, it's just not safe, like, people putting bags over their head and, like, kids are going to be copying this or whatever. But then it was very funny, because do you remember there was that really, really ill-judged, I felt, article in The Independent the following week, and the person was, like, basically giving out about, like, Blind Boy talking about mental health, etc., and, you know, about how he's not an expert in first comments and all that kind of crack. And, like, really, I felt tone deaf, because we're like, no, like, this is actually a really good thing that, you know, a young Irish male is talking about mental health. It's pretty hard to find fault in that. But then I kind of panicked. I was like, oh my God, like, does he think now I was just pulling the piss out of him with my sketch video? So I did message, but he didn't get back. I think he left me on red. I'm not sure. I'm presuming. I did delete it because I was like, I don't want to have the evidence here for myself. So I just deleted. But like, if I pissed Blind Boy off,
did you tag him originally?
I did tag him originally.
Okay.
Because I would have met him before and stuff, and he was always so sound, and I was kind of like, oh yeah, like just.
Oh, so you know each other.
But that, no, not at all. But like, I would have, you know, the way you just have those kind of green room conversations with people. Mm-hmm. So I was like, but so then I panicked and I de-tagged, because I was like, oh God, I don't want him to think that, you know, when people tag you and it's kind of trying to bandwagon a bit. So I de-tagged because I was like, I don't want him to think I'm bandwagoning. And then this article came out the following week. And then I felt so bad because the intervening period, at some point, I don't know the chronology of events, but at some point, Blind Boy had talked about how he's been suffering from anxiety. Oh, yes, because that's what precipitated me sending the message saying, I hope, you know, like, it was just. So I was like, this is so me that I'm like putting this out there. And like, maybe he was pissed off by it. I don't know. But anyway, so I sent a big long apology and crickets. So it's over. It's done.
Oh, it's completely in England done. Now. It's completely done, I think. Yeah, that's the only thing I've heard about him from. I've never met him, but I've heard from various sources. And no, this hasn't been me asking. This has been people telling me this information, that he's gorgeous.
I knew exactly what you were going to say. He is a very good looking man.
Yeah, that's what everyone has said to me. And I'm just like, are you sure it just wasn't because before that you weren't able to see his face? So then when you see a face, it's going to look good. You know, like when you do these things, like these filters where you can distort your face, whatever, and then you click into how you normally look and you're like, oh God, I don't actually look too bad. I was like, is it that kind of thing? And they were like, no.
Oh, no, no.
Like, I think the word ride was used.
Oh no, he is the ride. And Fred actually was saying that because the last time I was drawn to him was at Body and Soul. And I'd laugh because he was like, I was just chatting to him by the crisps for like 2 minutes or whatever. And it's funny because, you know, the way in these situations, like a better known comedian will always swoop in and be like, oh, I'll take it for a year. Thank you. I'm just going to chat to him, if you don't mind.
Oh, well. You won't be talking to him again anyway.
Because it was just very clear that I was taking the piss out of your one. Do you know what I mean? Her taking up. But then that article came out and I was like, oh, geez. It kind of felt like life mirroring art all of a sudden.
No, I think that's done now. I think.
I'm sure he's busy.
It's not. Exactly. I'm sure he can see exactly what it was.
So back to the realm of straight white male privilege, i.e. space. So you know this report came out in the States this week, and basically, you know the way aliens, so instead of UFOs, they now say unexplained aerial phenomena. Yeah. UAP, you are the people we need to kind of get in touch with if we want to get a gaff. So an UAP. But they came out basically to say, like, it was all very unsatisfactory, you know, to say that, yes, over the last couple of decades, there's been 120 sightings of things that they can't identify in the sky. But then they did qualify that by saying it could have been Russia and China. So essentially they're like, look, it wasn't one of ours, but it was probably like Russia or China.
Yeah.
But in saying that, because it is interesting, like then there was this guy who came out and they were talking about, obviously it all kind of harks back to the Pentagon and classified programs and all the rest. And there was this one guy who had come out, and he had previously worked for, I have his name somewhere now, I'll find his name, but he had previously worked for this classified program in the Pentagon. And basically they spend $22 million on this program a year, but they won't say what it is. But it's essentially like looking at the existence of aliens, which I just love, because I'm a complete believer in aliens as well.
Oh yeah, it's happening.
Now, obviously, we all know, like, Roswell, etc., like, total hoax, for sure. But I definitely think that there's no possible way. But to be quite honest, if human beings are the most intelligent life form there is, I think that's quite depressing.
If they are or if they aren't. I'm on
TikTok recently. If we are, if we're as intelligent as it gets, like, it's pretty grim.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited though. I think there'll be another pandemic, and then the aliens will come.
So we're thinking pandemic, then amoeba.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there'll be a bit of a gap, and then it's just gonna proper kick off. I mean, if I was right about Miggledy, I think we can all agree that I'm psychic.
I think, yeah.
Predicted coronavirus, predicted Miggledy. Listen up.
Do you know what? You've spent so long pretending to be able to read palms. You're now at that point where I do. You know what? Like, next time I see you, you're totally reading my tea leaves. That's when are you coming down on your holly bulbs? I have the room ready. Look.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
I don't. We'll have to. I think we, like, maybe start of August or something like that. I'll have to set dates with you, because I'm sure there'll be other people flying down.
Before the pandemic or after the amoeba? Like, I need to be very clear.
Oh, no, before the pandemic, I think, would be best.
Okay.
Because the next one's going to be a biggie. So I think before the next pandemic, we'll be down. Like in August, brilliant. Would that be all right?
Would love to have you in August. You know, well, Ted's getting christened on the 14th of August. I know everyone's like, you're having him christened. Yes, we're having him christened. It's the 14th of August.
Cool. And who?
Maybe the first week in August you could pop down.
And who are going to be your godparents?
My or brother Ted's Ed, Fred, Ted and Ed. It's all getting very confusing. Mm-hmm. And Fred's really lovely sister, Joanna, who I just love. I'm so lucky with Fred's family, because I just really genuinely look forward to hanging out with them. So Joanna, Fred's sister, is going to be godmother.
Oh, nice.
And she's gas, because she's like the head nurse in Galway A&E. And like anytime, because it's so funny, she's so chill. You know, like she's the type of person you could ring and say, I killed a man. And she'd be like, okay, well, look, I'll bring a bin bag. No need to panic. This happens all the time. You know, look, everyone does it. It's like, she's just the most chill person I've ever met in my life.
And just like puts the plastic apron on, gloves on, down with the bin bag. Now we'll have this. We'll have this cleaned up now in no time. Don't be apologising.
She's like, oh, fine. And then she puts her hand up, and you can see, like, you know, like gaping wound. Like, is that? Oh yeah, just paper cut. Anyway, how are you? How's Ted? He's great. Thank you.
Oh, that's cool. I think nurses are like that though, aren't they?
Yeah, she's a real nurse. And I do think, actually today now with Ted, it's funny because, you know, we forgot to use the milestone cards. Oh, I was telling you this. So I sent you one where, like, I've crawled today, even though he's been crawling for a week. So in the space of a day, we've taken, I'm 4 months old, I'm 6 months old, I'm 8 months old, I got my first tooth, I stood for the first time, and I crawled for the first time, all in the space of a day. We just changed his t-shirt.
Oh, you did change his t-shirt each time, did you?
Yeah, just to trick, you know, the way you can, it's like the Mandela, what is that, the Mandela complex? Is that when you kind of, it's the whole fake memory thing?
Yeah.
With the different t-shirts, we can convince ourselves that we were on it.
And I think, you can do some of them maybe in black and white and...
Yeah, different filters.
Yeah, it'll be absolutely fine. I never had any of these milestone cards, so I mean.
No, and you know what? It's a bit of pressure. It's just, I feel like it's another thing you have to do, the milestone card. Like, obviously, we're taking, the child is constantly being papped, but then you're like, I forgot the milestone card. You never tell the social. Look at me.
You can have it. Oh,
goodbye, Emma. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, goodbye. God bless patrons and listener.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.